Morning. I hope you can stand a little bit more data. I know you've been sitting through a lot of presentations. I am happy to be here. I am going to be presenting results from a meta-analysis of the international literature on racial and ethnic disparities in HIV infection among injection drug users. I'd like to acknowledge that the PI on the study is Sandy Gerlay, who you've just heard from, and our co-investigator is Holly Hagen, who is with the New York University College of Nursing. Just for some background, higher rates of HIV infection among racial ethnic minority IDUs are reported in both the United States data as well as internationally. There are some important exceptions, but there are certainly exceptions. In some settings, HIV rates are higher among majority rather than minority populations. We have seen, the literature has shown that individual risk behavior is not an explanation for the disparities we see, so there are not higher rates of risk behavior in racial ethnic minority injectors. And importantly, higher HIV AIDS rates among racial ethnic minority IDUs create conditions for self-sustaining heterosexual HIV transmission among minority communities. So we are doing a systematic review and then a meta-analysis of the data that we're collecting. The sources for our systematic review are both published and unpublished reports. We're collecting data from September of 1984 through December of 2010. Again, we're looking at both international and U.S. data. Primarily, our database that we're using is PubMed. We are also going to eventually be looking at PsycINFO, sociological abstracts, as well as other databases. We're also going to be utilizing gray literature, so dissertations or theses that may have not been published yet, conference abstracts, data that's been presented at conferences, like Danielle's data that I'm going to get. All of that, you know, those kind of that kind of data we'd like to collect that may not be out there on PubMed right away. We'll also be reaching into our scientific networks, so we have approximately six or seven researchers who work primarily in this field who we've asked to put their feelers out to send us data that they may be aware of that we're not necessarily aware of. So as for selection criteria, we are looking for data on IDUs. The IDUs have to have used either heroin, crack, or cocaine, or amphetamines. They could have used only one, they could have used all three, they could use other drugs as well, but they have to have at least used one of those three drug groups. The reports also have to include data on HIV incidence or HIV prevalence, and then what we want is an analysis that looks at HIV prevalence or incidence within racial ethnic groups. We go through a lot of quality assurance protocols. I'm not going to go too much into that because of time. We do have two research associates who are reading through abstracts to determine eligibility and then reading through reports to really make the determination whether a report is either ineligible, eligible, or a paper that needs to, we actually need to contact the author for. So for our ineligible articles, we've had three rounds of quality assurance. What that entails is the paper that's been found ineligible from one research associate and another paper that's been found ineligible by another research associate are swapped. And so they both review that data, and we want to make sure that they both find that they're ineligible, excuse my voice, and that they find they're ineligible for the same reasons. We also have, again, quality assurance for abstracts. So we've done a couple rounds of we've done two rounds now of looking at abstracts and determining whether or not the research associate determines whether that abstract should be imported into our bibliographic database. Thank you. So we've had 100% agreement on whether or not an abstract should be imported into our database. As for eligible articles, the quality assurance is very systematic. A research associate codes an article, determines that it's eligible. I then code that article. I make sure that it's eligible as well. We go through some consensus decision making. If we determine that there are issues, that maybe I wouldn't have coded something the same way that they did. My coding then goes to to Holly Hagen, our co-investigator, and she then reviews that as well. So this is a preliminary results from our systematic review. Currently, we have approximately 34,500 records from PubMed that have come back from our search. Of those records, we've screened almost 30,000 of them. It's a lot of data that we're working with. This has been only from April of 2009 through September of 2010. From those records screened, we've imported 3358 into EndNote, so 11% of the records that we've screened have come into EndNote. We've looked at 54% of those, and of those, 30% are contact author. So they've given us indication that they have HIV prevalence or incidence data. They've also told us their demographic breakdown of racial ethnic groups, but they haven't done the analysis that we want. So we're going to be contacting those authors to see if they'll be willing to do that analysis. 8% of the articles reviewed are eligible, and then 62% are ineligible. And that's because the papers that we're reviewing, you know, we'll be reviewing a paper that may just look upon risk behavior, but they didn't actually do tests for HIV infection, so it's actually not going to be a paper that's eligible for our study. We generated a funnel plot just to determine whether or not we have publication bias, and what we've determined is that there is no indication of small study effect, so only looking at studies that are large populations, or a publication bias. You see that there's generally symmetry across the screen. The x-axis represents a log odds ratio, but we did put in the purple bar. So anything to your right shows that there's increased infection or increased odds of infection among racial ethnic minority communities. Anything to the left of the bar shows that there's reduced risk or odds of infection for racial ethnic minority communities. And then the y-axis represents a sample size. So towards the top of the y-axis is a larger sample size. Towards the bottom is a smaller one. So you can see generally that these studies are dispersed. They're generally even, and that gives us an indication that there isn't publication bias here. We included this slide just to show the diversity of racial ethnic minority communities. We have a lot of literature internationally. A lot of different groups are being studied. What's key about this slide is that we are keeping to the racial ethnic category that the author has presented. So we're not collapsing African American and Black. We're not collapsing Hispanic and Latino. We're trying to ensure that those groups remain the same so we can really do a better analysis of what groups we're looking at. Some challenges that we found is inconsistent naming of racial and ethnic groups within one paper. So you could have African American and Black within the same paper. The word other can represent a lot of different things. So minority groups with modest numbers is another. Ethnic majority groups can be an other. And then both low risk racial ethnic groups and high risk racial ethnic groups can be termed other. The other challenge is that there's a real failure by authors to report HIV infection rates by racial ethnic groups despite collecting the demographic data. We're mindful that that's not necessarily the study question that they're after, but oftentimes that analysis could be done rather quickly and it's not reported in the study. So for preliminary results, we reviewed 91 studies. They were all prevalence studies. Most of them were from the United States, followed by China and Canada. And our unit of analysis was minority to majority comparisons. So one study could have 2 to 3 minority to majority comparisons. So if you're collecting data on whites, blacks, and Hispanics, and there was a comparison between blacks and whites and Hispanics and whites, we then have 2 comparisons from one study. As for the odds ratios that we found, overall, racial ethnic minority injectors have 2.4 greater odds of infection than racial ethnic majority injectors. There is also great heterogeneity between our studies. The I-squared statistic shows us that. And what this suggests to us is there are multiple causal factors that contribute to racial ethnic group differences in HIV infection. So what we need to do next is stratify by homogeneous subsets. Find studies that might be more similar to each other, maybe the same populations or the same study methods, to reduce that I-squared statistic. We also found preliminarily that HIV in U.S. black-to-white comparisons had a mean-weighted OR of 2.87. So U.S. blacks have 2.87 greater odds of infection than white IDUs, or U.S. black IDUs, 2.87 higher odds of infection than whites. And this was significantly greater than the mean weighted OR for all minority to majority comparisons together, which was at 2.4. And all of these were statistically significant. This is a forest plot that we've generated. So each of our racial ethnic comparisons are the trees of our study, and this is the forest. So this gives us a sense of comparing both all these comparisons, racial ethnic comparisons, to each other, and then to the mean weighted OR. So the line going down the middle, the black line, is an odds ratio of 1, so showing no difference between racial ethnic groups in infection. The dotted red line shows us the mean weighted OR of 2.4. And then the lines going across are, the line itself is the confidence interval, so it shows you how wide the confidence interval is. And the dot in the middle is the OR found within that racial ethnic comparison. What we see here is that the majority of comparisons have an OR that's greater than 1 with narrow confidence intervals, showing us minority groups are at greater odds of HIV infection compared to majority groups. And then we have a small number of odds ratios and confidence intervals falling below 1, showing, again, minority groups are at lower odds of HIV infection. Again, that's a very small number. And just to point out that the confidence intervals are very wide, showing us we have small samples, which indicates the need for a meta-analysis. These are just frequency distributions of the minority to majority odds ratios. Everything to your right of the red line shows us, you know, again, greater odds of infection among minority communities. My time is up. This is very similar in the United States. And then just a summary, both internationally and the U.S., racial ethnic minority groups are at higher risk of HIV infection compared to majority groups. We have great heterogeneity. And a Gaussian distribution of OR suggests multiple complex causes of racial ethnic disparities, and it's unlikely that there'll be a single, very simple solution to fix these disparities. Thank you for your time, funding support by NIDA, and our research support.